Title today is Joy to the World. The purpose is to better understand how Paul was able to find peace and joy in spite of the tribulations and trials he endured, including his two imprisonments. In fact, obviously this is the season of joy that we have, knowing that, or celebrating the fact that Christ was born. And while we believe he was actually conceived on December 25th, but born on September 29th, we still have great joy. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The Greek word there means cheerfulness or delight or gladness or joy or joyful. It's exceeding joy. And I'm reminded that there's a verse in Psalms 30, verse 5, that says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Sometimes I look at something and I read something and I think I need to spend some time studying that. And then I spend so much time studying it that I think, well, I might as well present this. There might be somebody else out there that needs this. Not realizing that the Lord was preparing me for weeping at night, but joy in the morning. An unspoken prayer for Kathleen and I. We had an instance that kind of rocked our world this week. We, in fact, were weeping at night. When we got up in the morning, we praised the Lord, and we began to create a list of thankfulness. And in that process, we found great joy. In Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," which means endurance, "gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So the fruit of the Spirit starts with love, but it goes to joy and peace. And so as we look back then at Psalm 95, verse 2, it says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." So joy comes from being thankful. Okay, we could end this study right here because that's the bottom line. Joy comes from being thankful. Peace comes from being thankful. Your endurance comes from being thankful. So let's take a look at thankful a little bit. We did so the last time I spoke, but just a couple verses to remind you. We have Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God," there's peace again, "rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. 2 Corinthians 4:15, "For all things are for your sakes, but the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of the Lord. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." There again is the weeping or the light affliction that comes for but a night, but joy comes in the morning. So Ephesians 5:16, we have redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a different word. For the word for thanks here is eucharisto, and it means to be grateful, to express gratitude, to be thankful. And we see that thankfulness is demonstrated by us making melody in our heart. That's joy. And I don't know about you, but this time of year, we actually went to a pageant, if you will, a concert for our grandkids, and these little preschoolers are singing and making joy, and they're just beaming with smiles. And, you know, if we were to sing along, the people around you wouldn't probably have that same beaming smile after hearing me. But hearing these children lift up their voices to the Lord, it's just amazing. So in John 16, verse 20 through 22, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And he now therefore has sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And the word joy here is chara. It has to do with gladness, delight, joy, exceeding joy, cheerfulness. And you see here that this is a perfect example of pain being temporal, but joy being eternal. And I've never delivered a child being man. But I know that watching my wife in labor with one of our kids 42 hours and the pain that she went through, I suffered right along with her because there was nothing I could do for her except for keep asking them for epidurals or drugs or whatever. And at one point they said, you know, we just can't do this anymore. She needs to deliver this child. And when that baby came out, there was no pain on her face anymore. There was just joy. And so it's just a great example of how temporal pain can be. In John 16, 31 through 33, Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We've just come through a very difficult political situation with the election. Talk about tribulation and the angst of many people who were worried about the outcome of the election. And regardless of whether you voted one way or the other, it's over, it's done, and we now can move forward. And that's the point. It's over and done. Let's move forward because Christ has overcome the world. He is in authority. He is in charge. It's his plan and purpose. He is in control. And because of that, we can joy. Acts 20:22-24. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was his ministry. And, you know, amazing that that ministry changed, as Ron has been telling us, through Paul's life. And while Luke wrote this, he wrote it about Paul and about the ability to finish his course. He says, I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. How important that is for us, regardless of our circumstances. In 1 Peter 1:8, it says, whom having not seen ye loved, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy, unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Rejoice with joy. Now earlier we connected peace and joy with thankfulness. And in Colossians 3:14-16 it says, and above all these things put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. We read that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. That is just so important for us to be able to demonstrate that we have joy. In spite of the challenges that we're faced, we are to be witnesses to others. And that peace in our heart allows us to sing out loud, being able to teach and admonish others. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So it's that meekness, in spite of the long suffering, in spite of the enduring of tribulation, that we continue to forbear each other, or lift each other up. It doesn't mean, forbearing doesn't necessarily always mean, I've got to tolerate you. Forbearing has to do with bearing, meaning to pick up. And we know that we're to edify each other, which means build up. So let's just take a look at this word, long suffering, for a second. In Ephesians that we just read, it has to do with fortitude. It has to do with, and is translated frequently, patience or enduring pain in some cases, which is inflicted by others. And isn't that sometimes the most painful, when a family member or a brother, a sister, a parent, cause us great pain, and we have to forbear. We have to lift them up. So let's look at the book that Paul wrote that is called the Book of Rejoicing by some, and look at multiple places. Now remember, Paul has been imprisoned, and yet he continues to write about his ability to find joy. In Philippians 1:3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. There's thankfulness. And he's what? Remembering other faithful believers. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What then, go down to verse 18, sorry. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. The word rejoice here is the being full of cheer, happy, glad, joy, rejoicing. And I'm reminded of some of my coaching experience where I had some individuals, even though it was a Christian school, that didn't really act like Christians. They were pranksters. They were totally distracted most of the time during practice. and you just wonder, you know, how is this kid ever going to make it through high school, let alone college and beyond? And then 10 years later, this kid shows up in your life. He's a young man, and you find out that he's become a youth pastor. And on the one hand, it's kind of a shock. But on the other hand, the joy that it brings to know that this individual continued to be in faith, and now he's teaching and admonishing others, and he's doing so through song, by music. In Philippians 2:16-18, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you and all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. His run was not in vain. He did not labor in vain. Why? Because these individuals remained faithful that he had taught. And that brought him great joy to be able to look back and say, maybe not what's my legacy, but who have I impacted in a positive way for the glory of God, for Christ's glory, not mine. Philippians 2:28. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. So as he sent Epaphroditus, Titus, Timothy out to meet with the different churches to help them, Paul was able to say, I'm not sorrowful because I'm hearing good reports coming back about where you are. Chapter 3, Philippians 1-3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is indeed not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh is what is impacted with pain. We feel pain through the flesh, but we rejoice through Christ because of the Spirit. We rejoice in Him. Last reference is Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He's repeating himself because it's so important to be glad, to find joy. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There it is. Joy, rejoicing, and thanksgiving go hand in hand. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If we think on these things and are thankful for these true, honest, just, pure, lovely, a good report, virtue, these are the things which will allow us to think on and to then have thanksgiving and to take away the anxiety or the pain, the long-suffering that we must endure for a time. This peace has to do with quietness. It's an inner peace. It's rest. I don't know if you've been so exhausted at any point in time that when you finally get to sit down or lay down and you are restful in a quiet place, it just brings peace. And that's what we look for, that inner peace, knowing that we have life. We have no fear. We have Christ. That can't be taken away. So it's not joy is not related to life circumstances. When we know that from the Word we get wisdom, which shows us the value of joy, thanksgiving, and peace in our life, that's when we can truly have a peaceful, thankful, and joyous Christmas. So I hope that that's the case for each of you. And I know some of you have gone through some difficult times. I know some of you are going through difficult times. And I just hope that this message of joy allows you to rejoice as Paul did in spite of the pain. And we ask then that you continue to pray for Kathleen and I and those that Ron has already identified that need your prayers, because we are a community and an assembly, and that we can pray for each other, and that's how we fellowship, continuing in prayer for each other. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word that we can find joy. We're thankful for other believers that we have, that we can have them pray for us and know that it's having an impact. And we are thankful, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus, who died for us. But at this time in this season, Lord, we are thankful that he was born for a purpose, and that purpose was to save us. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.